Welcome back, everybody. Today, we're going to be taking a deep dive into something I think we all know at least a little bit about.
Oh, yeah.
The creation of woman.
Ah.
As told in Genesis 2. And we've got a really fascinating lecture transcript from Old Testament scholar Robert Van Ooy to help us go through it.
Okay.
And he brings up some really cool points that I think you'll find interesting. We're going to be talking about the Hebrew language.
Sure.
We're going to be going through some different interpretations of the text. And we might even get into some interesting scientific questions.
Okay.
About evolution that connect back to this very ancient story. So really excited to dive into this with you today.
Yeah, I'm fascinated to see what Van Ooy has to say about all of this. I mean, it's a familiar story, right?
Yeah.
But I feel like there's always more to uncover.
Always. Okay, so let's get started. Genesis 2. God creates Eve. But before we get into the how, the text really emphasizes the why. So what do you think is the significance of that? Why is the need for a companion mentioned before the details of her creation?
That's a really good question. I think it sets the stage for understanding the unique role of woman. Genesis 2.18 says, "It is not good that the man should be alone. I will make him a helper fit for him." And this isn't just about, you know, Adam needing someone to do the dishes.
Right.
It's about a fundamental need for companionship, for a being who is like him.
Right.
Someone to share life with.
And that word helper, it gets a bad rap sometimes, doesn't it?
It does. But we have to remember the context. We're talking about a partner, someone who corresponds to Adam.
Right.
Someone who can stand beside him as an equal. You know, back in Genesis 1, both man and woman are created in God's image, both reflecting the divine. So helper here isn't about inferiority. It's about complementarity.
Yeah, it's about partnership.
Yeah.
And then you've got that whole bit about Adam naming the animals.
Right.
I mean, was God just keeping him busy?
Right. Yeah, that always makes me chuckle,
yeah.
You know? Like, was God just trying to distract him? But I think it's more than just labeling, you know?
Yeah.
I think it's about Adam gaining this understanding of the different creatures, yeah. Recognizing their unique characteristics. And through this process, he becomes aware of his own uniqueness and his need for a companion who shares that same nature.
Right, who's truly like him.
Exactly.
Okay, so now to the part that everybody always wants to talk about. The rib.
Oh, yeah.
Or was it a side?
Yeah.
This is where things get really interesting.
Ah!
Van Ooy dives into the original Hebrew here.
He does. He does.
And it's the word selah.
Selah, yeah. And, you know, translating from ancient languages can be tricky. Sometimes it's like you're trying to find this perfect English equivalent, but it just doesn't quite capture all the shades of meaning.
Right.
But in a lot of biblical passages, selah clearly means side. I mean, you can see it in Exodus 25.12, where it's talking about the sides of the Ark of the Covenant.
Mm.
You know, there are other verses that talk about the side of a mountain or the side of a building. So in those instances, side seems pretty straightforward.
Yeah, it seems pretty clear.
Yeah.
But then he throws in this curveball from 1 Kings 6.
He does.
Where a similar form of selah is used to describe the boards or planks of Solomon's temple.
Right. So there's room for debate about, you know, what's the best translation in this particular context.
Right. And of course, you've got Adam's reaction when he first sees Eve.
Oh, yeah.
This is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. I mean, that seems to lean toward the rib interpretation, doesn't it?
It does, right? But Van Ooy points out something really interesting about that phrase, bone of my bones. He connects it back to 2 Samuel 5.1, where all of Israel claims kinship with David using that same language.
That's interesting.
It is. It makes you wonder if maybe it's more as a figurative expression of deep connection and unity, not just about a literal rib, but about that profound connection between man and woman that mirrors the unity of all humankind.
That's a really profound thought. And speaking of profound, let's move on to Genesis 2.24. Therefore, a man shall leave his father and his mother and hold fast to his wife, and they shall become one flesh.
One of the most famous verses in the Bible, often seen as like the foundation of marriage.
Absolutely.
But, you know, there are a couple of different ways to interpret it.
Okay, so walk us through those different interpretations.
So the first way is to see it as a straight up command. Man must leave his parents and cling to his wife. You know, it's a rule to be followed.
Okay.
A divine imperative for building a family. The second way is to understand it as an explanation of the natural order of things. It's not so much a command, but more of an observation about how God created man and woman.
Okay.
Because they were made for this kind of unity, this is the natural outcome. It's less about a rule book and more about describing reality as it is.
So built into our very being.
Exactly, exactly. And Van Noy seems to lean toward this second view. He's emphasizing that monogamous marriage is rooted in creation itself.
And that really resonates with me. It's suggesting that this profound bond between husband and wife isn't just a social construct.
Yeah.
It's an echo of that original unity between Adam and Eve, a unity that reflects something much deeper about who we are as human beings. And Van Noy brings in another voice here, quoting theologian Francis Schaeffer, who argues that the creation of woman from man underscores the unity of all humankind. So it's not just about a man and woman becoming one,
right?
But about all of humanity being connected on this fundamental level.
It's like this ripple effect, right?
Yeah.
This one act of creation that extends outward to encompass the whole human family.
It's really powerful.
Yeah.
But Van Noy doesn't stop there. He wants us to dig even deeper into that phrase, they shall become one flesh. And that's a phrase that I think gets thrown around a lot, but I think we often miss the depth of what it's really saying.
Oh, absolutely. It's easy to just focus on the obvious physical aspect, especially when you read verses like 1 Corinthians 6.16, which talks about becoming one body with a prostitute. But Van Noy is suggesting that there's so much more to it than just that. He argues that one flesh encompasses spiritual unity, emotional connection, even this kind of psychological merging. It's about interdependence, this profound merging of two lives into one.
Wow. So it's not just physical. It's this multi-layered, multi-dimensional,
no,
you know.
Exactly. It makes you reconsider what it really means to be one flesh, doesn't it?
It really does.
Mm.
But then, just when I thought we were getting comfortable with this beautiful picture of unity, Van Noy throws us a curveball. He brings up evolution. And he's not talking about some watered-down version of, you know, adaptation within species. He's talking about macroevolution. The idea that all life arose from natural causes, evolving from simple to complex over eons.
Right.
And he's pretty clear that this view directly contradicts the Genesis account.
Yeah, he is. And what's really interesting is that he introduces challenges to evolution coming from within the scientific community itself.
Oh.
Yeah, so he brings up Sir Fred Hoyle, a renowned astronomer and mathematician who wasn't a Christian, by the way.
Okay, so we're talking about a respected scientist who's not coming at this from a religious perspective.
Exactly. And Hoyle actually said that the chance of Darwinian evolution being true is utterly minuscule as to be absurd.
Wow, he didn't mince words.
He did not. So one of his main arguments was the sheer complexity of biomolecules. He believed that this pointed to intelligent design, although he stopped short of calling that intelligence God.
Interesting. So you've got this prominent scientist saying that the odds of life arising from pure random chance are basically zero. That's a pretty bold statement.
It is. It is. And Van Noy points out that Hoyle isn't alone. He mentions other scientists who have raised concerns about Darwinian evolution. For example, some paleontologists haven't found those gradual evolutionary links that Darwin's theory requires.
You mean those missing links we always hear about?
Exactly. And then you have the mathematical calculations that some scientists have done, which suggest that the probability of life arising purely from random chance is astronomically small.
Wow. So we're talking about scientific challenges to evolution that go beyond just faith or religious belief.
That's right. And it gets even more interesting. Van Noy quotes Hoyle and his co-author, who said that if Darwinism was not socially desirable, it would, of course, be otherwise.
Ooh, now that's a loaded statement.
Yeah.
Are they suggesting that there's pressure within the scientific community to conform to Darwinian evolution, even if the evidence isn't entirely convincing?
It certainly raises that question, doesn't it? And if so, what are the implications of that? It makes you wonder if we're sometimes too quick to accept prevailing theories without questioning their underlying assumptions.
Right. And it's not just about evolution. This idea of questioning what we think we know.
Right.
It applies to so many areas of life.
Absolutely.
But let's bring it back to the creation of woman. How do these scientific challenges connect to the topic that we're exploring today?
Well, I think Van Noy is essentially saying that the very origin of humanity points towards something beyond purely naturalistic explanations. He's arguing that the creation of woman, as described in Genesis, provides evidence for something more, something that science alone can't fully account for.
It's a bold claim.
Yeah.
But as we've seen, he's backing it up with some compelling arguments from both scripture and science. And I think that leads us perfectly to our next point. But we'll save that for part two of our deep dive. Don't go anywhere. Welcome back to our deep dive into the creation of woman. Before we went to what we're calling a break here, we were talking about some pretty mind-blowing challenges to evolutionary theory.
Yeah, some really interesting stuff.
It's amazing to think about how these scientific questions connect back to this ancient story of Adam and Eve.
It really is, isn't it? It makes you realize that truth can be found in some pretty unexpected places.
For sure. But let's get back to the heart of our discussion.
Yeah.
This profound unity between man and woman, which is so beautifully depicted in Genesis 2.
Right.
Remember that phrase, one flesh? We touched on it earlier, but I think there's a lot more to unpack there.
Oh, definitely. It's more than just a physical union. It's spiritual, emotional, intellectual, even. It's like they were designed to complete each other.
In every way. And I think that's such an important point to remember, especially in a culture that often seems to pit men and women against each other. The Genesis account paints a very different picture, one of harmony, interdependence, mutual respect.
Yeah, it's almost like a blueprint for healthy relationships.
Exactly. And not just between husbands and wives, but between all people.
Right. It reminds us that we're all part of this grand tapestry of humanity, woven together from the very beginning. Each of us, male and female, contributes something unique.
And essential to the whole.
Exactly.
And that tapestry is enriched by our differences, wouldn't you say?
Absolutely.
I mean, the creation of woman wasn't just an afterthought. It was an essential part of God's plan from the beginning.
It wasn't just about Adam needing a companion, you know, to alleviate his loneliness or whatever. It was about creating a being who would reflect God's image in a unique way, in a complementary way. It's like saying that humanity wasn't complete until both man and woman were present,
right?
Each contributing their unique qualities.
That raises a fascinating question, though, doesn't it? If we truly believe that both men and women are essential for reflecting the fullness of God's image, how does that shape our view of gender roles in society?
Ooh, that's a good one. It definitely challenges us to move beyond rigid stereotypes, I think, to recognize the inherent dignity and value of every individual, regardless of their sex.
Yeah. And that brings us back to that idea of one flesh. I think that's the most important takeaway from our deep dive today. Mm-hmm. What makes this concept so profound to you?
It's the multi-layered meaning. It's not just a physical union. It's like this profound merging of two lives.
Yeah.
A coming together of spirits, hearts, and minds. It's this picture of true intimacy and interdependence. I think we all long for that.
On some level.
Yeah, whether it's in a romantic relationship or a close friendship or even our connection to the broader human family.
Beautifully said. And it reminds us that we're not meant to go through life alone.
We need each other.
We do. Mm. We need each other to thrive and flourish. And it underscores the beauty and sanctity of marriage, I think.
Yeah.
It's not just a social construct. It's rooted in creation itself. It's reflecting this profound truth about the nature of humanity.
And as Vannoy pointed out, it's a reality that's affirmed by both scripture and science.
Speaking of science, I'm really glad that Vannoy brought up those challenges to evolutionary theory. I think it's so important for all of us to be critical thinkers. You know, to question assumptions and be open to different perspectives. It's not about blindly accepting one view or another, but about seeking truth wherever it leads, even if it makes us uncomfortable.
100%. I agree.
Yeah, I think the creation of woman is a story that's captivated humanity for millennia. And it continues to spark these really profound questions about who we are, where we came from, what it means to be human. What stands out to you as the most significant implication of this story for our lives today?
It's hard to choose just one, but I think the idea of unity,
yeah,
both between man and woman and within the broader human family, it challenges us to think about how we relate to each other, how we value each other's differences, how we work together to create a more harmonious world.
And as much as we've uncovered in this deep dive, I feel like we've only scratched the surface.
Oh, for sure.
There's always more to learn. More to explore.
You're absolutely right. These ancient stories hold such a depth of wisdom.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's a great place to transition to our final thoughts.
Yeah.
What should our listeners ponder as we wrap up? What's the one thing you'd like to leave them with?
Well, after exploring the intentional creation of woman, the profound unity of one flesh, and even the scientific challenges to the evolutionary narrative, I can't help but wonder. If the creation of woman was such a deliberate act, reflecting God's intention for unity and interdependence and mutual respect, what does that say about the way we treat each other today? Are we living up to that divine blueprint? And if not, what steps can we take to bridge the gap between that ideal and the reality? It's a question that I think each of us needs to wrestle with, because ultimately how we answer that question will shape not only our individual lives, but the future of our world.
That is a powerful question, and I encourage everyone listening to grapple with it, you know, really honestly and thoughtfully. But for now, I think we've given our listener plenty to chew on. So let's wrap up this episode of The Deep Dive.
Thanks for joining us on this incredible journey. Until next time, keep diving deep. Welcome back to the Deep Dive. We've been unpacking the story of the creation of woman, as told in Genesis 2, and it's been quite a journey. From the Hebrew word for rib, to these scientific challenges, to evolution, we've uncovered so much.
Yeah, we really have. It's amazing how these ancient texts can still speak to us today. They really draw us deeper into these mysteries of, you know, who we are and where we come from.
I think Van Noy did a really great job of highlighting some of those deeper layers. It wasn't just rehashing the Adam and Eve story. Mm-hmm. We got into the Hebrew language. We talked about different interpretations and even those thought-provoking scientific questions.
He really wove all of those threads together so well. Think back to where we started. That emphasis on the need for a companion before we even get to the details of her creation.
Right.
It really sets the stage for everything that follows.
It does. And then the symbolism of the rib or the side, whether we take that literally or figuratively, it speaks to that deep connection between man and woman. A connection that mirrors the unity of all humankind.
And then, of course, we dove into that phrase, one flesh, going beyond just the physical.
Right.
To the spiritual, the emotional, the intellectual, even.
It's like this infinite onion. The more we explore, the more we realize how much more there is to uncover.
Exactly.
But for me, I think it always comes back to that question of application. How do we take these insights from Genesis 2 and actually apply them to our lives today? How do we cultivate that same sense of unity and interdependence in our own relationships?
Yeah, that's the million-dollar question, isn't it? It's one thing to understand these concepts in our heads, but it's another thing entirely to live them out. I think it starts with the shift in perspective. Instead of seeing others as separate from us, we need to remember that each person, man or woman, is made in the image of God.
Just like Adam and Eve were.
Exactly. So treating each other with respect, empathy, a genuine desire to connect, that's got to be the starting point.
Absolutely.
Yeah,
and going beyond that, embracing those differences even, recognizing that they don't divide us, but rather they enrich the tapestry of humanity. We can learn from each other, challenge each other, and support each other along the way.
I love that image of a tapestry. It really speaks to the beauty of interconnectedness, how all of our individual threads come together to create something so much bigger and more beautiful than any one of us could create alone. And, you know, as we wrap up this deep dive, I think it's important to hold on to that sense of wonder and curiosity. We need to keep approaching life with that same openness, that same willingness to learn. Keep exploring, keep questioning, keep seeking truth.
That's what it's all about. It's been an amazing journey, but it doesn't end here.
No, it doesn't.
So to all our listeners, thank you so much for joining us on the Deep Dive. Keep those questions coming, and we'll see you next time for another deep dive into something fascinating.